and welcome. Let's find our seats, take our songbooks, turn to song 449. Psalm 449. Dwelling in New Land, 449. I'm going to sing that out on the first.
Far away the noise of strife upon my ear is falling. Then I know the sins of earth be set on every head. God of fear and kings of earth in vain to me are calling. None of you shall move me from you.
Welcome you to the Sunday morning service here at Rarity Baptist Church. We're so glad you're with us. We have a wonderful service lined up for you today, wonderful service lined up tonight, wonderful week. It's going to be a busy week this week, and we're excited about what the Lord is doing here. I'm glad my parents are back. They were in Venezuela for several months, and they're back. So, yeah, let's give them a round of applause. We're glad they're back. Praise the Lord. All right, good. And let's begin the service with a word of prayer. Let's bow our heads together, and let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for allowing us to gather together today, Lord. We love you, and we pray that you would bless this service. We pray that you'd bless the singing, the preaching, the fellowship. Lord, we ask for this week. There's so many things going on, and we ask that you would help us, that you'd be with us, and that you would help it to be a week that would impact eternity. In the matchless name of Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen.
Turn to song 257. 257. Look and live. 257. On the first. I have a message from the Lord. Hallelujah. The message unto you.
Our bulletins this morning. We'll look at some announcements real quickly. If you did not receive a bulletin on your way in, just raise your hand and one of our ushers can get one for you. If you need a bulletin, just put your hand up and we will get one for you. The verse this week, Psalm 119:66, teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. And that's a good verse there. We like that. If you open up your bulletin, you'll see our service time, Sunday morning service, 10:30 a.m. We're glad you're with us, of course, on Sunday morning, on the Lord's Day for church. Sunday evening service at 6 p.m. We do invite you to be back tonight for the evening service. The evening service is different than the morning service. Different songs that are sung, different sermon that's preached. Just one more opportunity to be in God's house with God's people under the preaching of the Word of God. Tonight, I'm going to be preaching a special sermon, and I want to encourage you to be here for that at 6 p.m. And then, of course, our Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. Normally on Wednesday nights, it's our prayer time and Bible study, and we are going through a chapter-by-chapter study of the book of Amos. This Wednesday night, of course, will be a special service, so we'll talk about that here in a minute. You look at our soul winning times, our main soul winning times on Saturday mornings at 10 a.m., and then we have additional soul winning times on Thursdays, Fridays, and Sundays at 2 p.m. So if you'd like to go soul winning this afternoon, there will be an opportunity for you to do that today at 2 p.m. Soul winning, of course, is when we go out in the community, we knock doors, we invite people to church, and we preach the gospel to anyone who is interested. If you're a first-time guest, if it's your first time here at Verity Baptist Church, we're glad you're with us. We have a gift we'd like to give you. As you walk out of the church building this morning, as you go out our main foyer, or if you go out our secondary foyer, you'll see a little table set up. And on that table, you'll see these little gift bags. Please make sure you grab one on your way out as a gift from us to you for being our guest this morning. There are several resources in this bag that we'd like you to have. The one I like to highlight is this documentary. It's called Being Baptist. It's a documentary that our church made. It's very well made, very interesting. We think you'll like it, and we want to give this to you as a gift. So please make sure you don't leave here this morning without grabbing one of these gift bags on your way out. And if you are a guest, we ask that you please take a moment and fill out the communication card, which is inserted in your bulletin. If you need a pen, just raise your hand, and one of our ushers will bring you by a Verity Baptist Church pen. You're welcome to keep the pen as a gift from us as well. We're not going to do anything odd with your info. We're not going to sell it to anybody or anything like that. But we would like to have a record of your attendance. We actually would like to send you a little gift, but we need your information to do that. So please take a moment to fill the card out. When we're done with the announcements, we're going to sing a song. When we're done singing, we're going to receive the offering. And as the offering plate goes by, you can drop this card in the offering plate, or you can hand it to me after the service. I'll be standing at the main door greeting people on the way out. So please take a moment to fill that card out. If you notice there in our bulletin, we are a family integrated church. What that means is that children and infants are always welcomed in the service. We do not separate children from their parents for any reason. However, we do have mother baby rooms and daddy rooms available for your convenience. All of the rooms have comfortable seating. They've got monitors set up so you can watch the service and listen to it. So if you have a child that's being distracting during the service, or if you need some privacy, we would encourage you to please get up and go to those mother baby rooms, daddy rooms. Please use those rooms. We also have screens in all of the foyers. There's screens everywhere around here, so you can take the kids if they're being distracting and help us with that. If you're not sure where the mother baby rooms are or the daddy room is, you can look at the back of the bulletin. You'll see a layout of our church building. It'll show you where the restrooms are. It'll show you where everything is. If you look at the announcements, first of all, if you need to be baptized, please let us know. We'd love to baptize you. The baptistry is filled. The water is warm. We've got everything you need. You can let us know on your communication card. On the back of the card, there's a place for you to check off if you'd like information about baptism, and we'll follow up with you, talk to you about that. If you've already spoken to somebody and you know you need to be baptized, and all you need to do is at the end of the service, while we're singing the last song, after the preaching, if you step out that door, one of our staff guys will meet you there and we'll get you situated for baptism. If you look at the announcements and upcoming events, of course, the big announcement this week is the Next Generation Youth Rally. We already have a couple families here for the youth rallies. Praise the Lord for that. And it's going to be a great week. We have 62 teens that are registered and 150, 160 people coming when you count all the parents and siblings and things like that. So it's going to be a great week, and I want to encourage you to be here for the youth rally. Obviously, if you have a teen, then you need to be here. You need to get your teens to the youth rally. But even the church family, you're welcome to come for the evening services, and you're even welcome to come for the morning sessions. Tonight, I'm going to preach a sermon about the next generation, and I'm going to be talking about the Next Generation Youth Rally. My wife and I are getting a lot of questions. I realize that many of you did not grow up in a church with events like this, so you're not sure what to expect or where you're supposed to be or what you're supposed to do. So I'm going to go into detail about that tonight. So I'm going to preach a sermon about the next generation, but in the sermon, I'm going to talk to you about the practicalities of the youth rally, what to expect, what we're expecting from you. So just make sure you come back tonight for that. But I do want to let you know that you're welcome to come for the morning sessions. You're welcome to come for the evening sessions. Pastor Stephen L. Anderson from Faithful Word Baptist Church in Tempe, Arizona will be preaching for us on Tuesday, March 7th at 7 p.m. I will be preaching on Wednesday, March 8th at 7 p.m., so we want to encourage you to be here. And if you can help us, we are having a cookie fellowship after both evening services, just a time to have desserts, and we would love for you to help us if you can bring cookies or bake cookies or any sort of dessert, whatever you'd like. That would be a great help. We've got two clipboards in the main foyer, and one for Tuesday, March 7th, one for Wednesday, March 8th. If you could go by there and sign up to bring cookies on Tuesday night or Wednesday night or both nights, we would really appreciate that. And then, of course, we've got the vision offering coming up on Sunday, March 26th. This is a special offering that we take here at Verity Baptist Church every spring, and our vision offering is coming on Sunday, March 26th. I'm not going to take the time to go through a lot of information on this, but you should have one of these cards in the bulletin. Once we get past the youth rally, we'll start talking more about this, but I do want you to notice what we're raising money for, and I want you to notice the giving opportunities, and just be in prayer for the vision offering. Things like the youth rally are special things that we can do because of the vision offering. So we want to encourage you to participate in our vision offering. And then, of course, our number one goal right now is to save for the down payment of a future building. I would say that we are about 75% towards the goal that we have for that. And we still have a little bit to go, but we need to get there. And the vision offering will help us get further down that road. And as many of you know, our churches and churches like ours are under attack. And especially with landlords, we are fine right now. But in the past, we've had issues with landlords. We just found out this week that Shield of Faith Baptist Church up in Boise, church we started, is getting evicted from their building. So be in prayer for them. And I think things are going to work out fine for them. But just be in prayer for them. But you know, it's the spiritual warfare we're engaged in. You can't take a stand for the Word of God and not expect the world to fight back. But for that reason, we believe, if the Lord would allow us, that we'd like to purchase our own property, own our own property, so we won't have that weighing over us. And that's one of the things we're raising money for. So just please be in prayer for the vision offering. Consider how you can give, how can you participate in that. If you look at the announcements there, all the ladies are invited to a baby shower for Miss Skylar Thompson on Saturday, March 18th at 3 p.m. She is having a girl and she is registered on Amazon. It is a potluck, so if you can, please bring a dish to share. And if you'd like to attend, you can sign up on your communication card. Also, we want you to know the usher dinner and training. This dinner and training is for all current ushers and anyone who is interested and would like more information about becoming an usher. So if you are an usher, we need you to be at this training, all right? I realize you guys are all busy. Every one of us is busy. Every single one of us is busy, all right? My wife and I got like 4 hours of sleep last night. I get it. Everyone's busy, but we need you there, all right? So make a priority, ushers, to be there because you need the training, and we've got some new stuff we need to go over with you. And so please make a priority. Just don't blow it off. You should have got a text message inviting you to the usher's training. Make sure you are there. And if you'd like to sign up to be an usher, then you're welcome to do that. You can come to this meeting as well, find out what it means to be an usher and be a part of that. You can sign up on your communication card. There are some qualifications to being an usher. You must be a man that attends all three services, attends a soul winning time every week, and must be able to arrive early to the church services. So keep that in mind. But we are opening up our usher ministry. If you'd like to be a part of that, we would appreciate your help. BBC choir practice today, 5 p.m. here in the auditorium. They're practicing for Easter. Make sure you're here for that. If you're part of the choir homeschool group, they've got PE class on Thursday, March 16th at 10 a.m. Make sure you are aware. The next PE class is Thursday, March 16th at 10 a.m. Upcoming cleaning crew, you can check for your name there. We appreciate your faithfulness. There's other things there for you to look at. Please don't forget to turn your cell phones off or place them on silent during the service so they're not a distraction to anybody. If you look at the back of the bulletin, birthdays and anniversaries for the month of March, today is Naomi Nelotescu's birthday on March 5th, and Brother Scott Sweeten has a birthday this week, March 10th. Miss Casey Taylor has a birthday this week as well, March 11th. Praise report, money matters, all those things are there for you to look at. And I think that's it for all of the announcements. So we're going to go ahead and sing the chorus of the week, which is the insert in your bulletin. And we want to encourage you to sing this out. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. You're singing well this morning. Let's sing this out on the first. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. To know His word and walk His narrow way. There is no peace, no joy, no thrill like walking in His will. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Here we go, sing it out. Once my heart was full of sin and shame, till someone told me Jesus came to save. When He said, come unto me, He set my heart free for me to live. To die is gain. There are things that I still I'm completely sure. Many who call me on that day lost all my sins away. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Amen. Good singing. We'll have the guys come up and help us with the offering as this time. As they make their way here, I do want to just tell you about the youth rally. Be in prayer. And if you know any young people, teens, 13 to 19 years old, even if they haven't registered for the conference and they can't be at all the events, try to get them here for the evening services. We're having two services geared towards young people. Try to get them here. It's going to be a fun time. We have all sorts of events. bowling. There's going to be competitions. There's going to be skits. There's going to be wrestling. On the second night, on the last night, we're raffling off a $630 electric scooter. So it's going to be fun, all right? So make sure you invite any young people in your life. Bring them to church on Tuesday night or Wednesday night. Let's begin the service, or let's pray for the offering. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. We thank you for our church, Lord, and we pray that you'd bless the offering, the gift, and the giver. Lord, we ask that you would meet with us as we look at Scripture today and look at some things from the Word of God. Help us to learn, help us to grow. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Turn your Bibles to James chapter 2. James chapter 2. If you do not have a Bible, raise your hand or an usher will bring you one. James chapter 2. We will read the entire chapter as is our custom. James chapter 2. Just keep your hands up and an usher will bring you a Bible. James chapter 2, the Bible reads, "My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring in goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, Sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, Stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you, and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by which ye are called?
If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin, and are convinced of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law, and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that has said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy, that hath showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith, and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked, and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works, when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith hath wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers, and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Let's pray. Lord God Almighty, thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity to come together. Please bless Pastor and the message. Let it bring glory and honor to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
Amen. All right, you're there in James chapter number 2. And I'd like you to keep your place there in James 2. But please go with me to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 10. Keep your place right there in James chapter 2. We're going to come back to it. We go to the book of Acts towards the beginning of the New Testament. You've got, of course, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and then the book of Acts. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and then the book of Acts. And, of course, this morning we are concluding a series that we began at the beginning of the year. Right at the beginning of this year, I began a sermon series on the subject of judgment. And we're going to finish that series today. It's the last sermon in this series. It's the eighth sermon in this series. And if you remember, we began the year with a sermon entitled The Theology of Judgment. Then I preached a sermon called Developing Discernment, preached another sermon called Areas of Authority. The fourth sermon was called Judgment Calls. The fifth sermon was called Judge Not. The sixth sermon was called What to Do When Someone Sins Against You. That was really an explanation of the Matthew 18 process. Last Sunday, I preached a sermon on gossip, and this morning we are finishing up the judgment series, and I'm preaching a sermon on the subject of respect of persons. And really, we've been learning about judgment and justice and discernment, and we learned that last week how gossip is closely tied to this idea of judgment, because in judgment, we have to understand our God-given authority, where we have been given authority by God to judge, and where we have not been given authority by God to judge. And gossip is an area where people often cross the line. Remember, we learned about, is it my place? Is it my problem? Is it my place of authority to deal with it? Is it something that is affecting me or those that are under my authority? Today, we're going to end with the subject of respect of persons, because as you'll notice as we go through the verses this morning, respect of persons and judgment are closely tied together. I want to begin just by way of introduction of showing you that God is against this idea of respect of persons. In Acts chapter 10 and verse 34, I want you to notice what the Bible says, Acts 10, 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. that God is no respecter of persons. And of course, the context here, and we won't take the time to go through the whole thing, but the context is that Peter has been sent to the house of Cornelius to preach the gospel to Gentiles. And at this point in the book of Acts, this was a transitioning that was happening. It was a newer thing. And here we have Peter saying, after he sees these Gentiles believe and, of course, receive the Holy Ghost, he says, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. And what he's saying is that God does not have more respect or does not show favor, does not have a leniency towards any one individual. God is equal in the sense of the opportunity for salvation. He says God is no respecter of persons. And this is a theme that is seen throughout the Bible. You're there in Acts, go to Romans if you would, Romans chapter 2 and verse 11. Just one book over from Acts into the book of Romans, Romans chapter 2 and verse 11. Paul reiterates this in Romans 2, and if you're familiar with Romans 2, of course, if you're familiar with the book of Romans, you understand that Paul's talking about the fact that we're all sinners, that no one is without excuse. And in Romans 2:11, he says this, he makes this statement, for there is no respect of persons with God. There is no respect of persons with God. And again, the idea is that God is not biased towards any one individual over another. There is no partiality with God. He is no respecter of persons. There is no respect of persons with God. Go to Ephesians chapter 6, if you would. You're there in Romans. You're going to go past 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, past the book of Galatians, into the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6, Romans, 1, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6, and notice verse number 9. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 9. The Bible says, and you masters, now in Acts chapter 10 and Romans 2, we saw the idea that God is no respecter of persons in the context of salvation. Here's an example of God not being respecter of persons outside of the context of salvation. Ephesians 6, 9, and ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven. The context is about how a master treats his servant or an employer treats his employee. And notice what the Bible says here, neither is there respect of persons with God. And what Paul is teaching here in Ephesians is that God is our master, and God does not have more respect for the master here on earth versus the servant. God looks at both as equals, and there is no respect of persons with God. And I'm just showing this to you to highlight the fact that God is against this idea of being a respecter of persons, or the idea of respect of persons. Now, I'd like you to keep your place there in Ephesians chapter 6. If you can put a bulletin or a ribbon or something there, we're going to come back in that area of the Bible and then go back to James, if you would, James chapter 2, where we began this morning, where we read this morning. Keep your place in Ephesians and go back to James. While you turn there, let me just give you a definition for this phrase, respect of persons. If you've read the Bible, you've probably read it and you're familiar with the term. Maybe you haven't read it, maybe you're not familiar with it, maybe it's new to you, or maybe you're unsure of what it means. Let me give you a definition. Respect of persons is defined as having a bias or to be partial to one over another, to be influenced by someone's status, wealth, or some other characteristic. So when we're talking about respect of persons, the idea of someone being a respecter of persons is that they are biased or partial towards one over another, and to be influenced by someone's status, wealth, or some other characteristic. Now, the problem with with this idea, when we talk about respect of persons, is that people have a lot of different thoughts of what it means to be a respecter of persons and what being a respecter of persons is. And I want to teach you from the Bible what the Bible teaches regarding this so that you can understand it and so that, of course, you can avoid it. So I want to give you three thoughts this morning regarding this idea of respect of persons. And if you're taking notes, maybe you can jot these down on the back of your course of the week. There's a place for you to write notes down. And of course, we always encourage you to write down notes throughout the preaching of God's word so that you can learn it better and so that you can teach it to others. And so that we can learn these things and help others. So number one this morning, let's talk about what is respect of persons. What is respect of persons? I want to define it for you from the Bible because there's so much confusion regarding being a respecter of persons. What is
respect of persons. And I want to give you two thoughts regarding the definition, and maybe you can jot these things down as well. Showing favor in treatment based on the status of someone is respect of persons. Now, you're there in James chapter 2. Look down at verse number 1. We read the entire chapter, but I want you to notice what is being taught here. James chapter 2 and verse 1. The Bible says, "My brethren," and this is, of course, James speaking to believers. He says, "Have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory," notice these words, "with respect of persons." So he said, we should not live the Christian life, and we should not have the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ with respect of persons. This should not be a quality in the life of a Christian. Look at verse 2. "For if there come unto your assembly," now here's the example he's going to give, because he just got done telling us, don't live the Christian life with respect of persons, and then he wants to explain what that means. So in verse 2, he begins an example. He says, "For if there come unto your assembly," what's an assembly? An assembly is a church. He is referring to a church service. What we're doing today is an assembly or a congregating of believers, and he says, "If there come unto your assembly," says, if somebody comes to your church service, to your church gathering, notice, "if there come unto your assembly a man." Now, what he's referring to is a rich man. Notice what he's going to explain. He says, "If there come unto your assembly a man," notice how he describes him, "with a gold ring in goodly apparel." So if there comes unto your assembly someone dressed very well, dressed very nice, it's obvious they're wealthy. It's obvious they're successful. It's obvious that they are someone that has status. They walk in with a gold ring and goodly apparel. And notice what he says, and I really want to emphasize this because I feel like this is something that people do not understand about what the Bible teaches about respect of persons. And it's highlighted all throughout the Bible, and I want you to notice it. "And there come in also a poor man in vile raiment." So here James is giving an example. You have a Sunday morning service, and two guys walk in. They're both first-time guests. One walks in with a nice gold ring on his finger, nice clothes, drove a nice vehicle into the parking lot, and then alongside him comes a poor man in vile raiment. It's obvious this person doesn't have a lot of money. It's obviously this person maybe is not very successful by the world standards. It's obvious that they're poor and that they don't have the resources that this other guy has. Notice what James says, verse 3, "And ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool." Notice what he says in verse 4, "Are ye not then partial?" The word partial means to have a bias, to favor one side over another. He says, "Are ye not then partial in yourselves and are become," notice what he says, "judges of evil thoughts." Now, the reason that I decided to preach a sermon on respect of persons many months ago when I began to study out this idea of judgment, and I knew I wanted to preach a series on judgment. The reason that I wanted to add this sermon on respect of persons is because all throughout the Bible, as I was studying the verses on judgment, you'll notice that a respecter of persons and being a judge are closely tied together. And being a respecter of persons actually makes you a bad judge, or makes you a corrupt judge. And here we see the first connection to that. He says, "Are ye not then partial in yourselves and are become judges of evil thoughts?" He says, you are a evil judge. You are a judge that hurts when you become partial. Now, here's what I want you to understand. What the Bible teaches is that showing favor and treatment based on status is respect of persons. But here's the part that I feel most people do not understand. The Bible is not saying that being kind to someone or doing something good for someone makes you a bad person or makes you a respecter of persons. It is when the favor and treatment of one creates a mistreatment of the other that makes you a respecter of persons. Notice, he didn't say, if they're coming to your assembly, a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, make sure you treat him bad. That's not what he said. He said, if there comes a man in with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, he says, and here's a problem, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. He says, are ye not then partial? So please understand something. If they would have rolled out the red carpet for both the rich guy and the poor guy, they would not have been respecter of persons. If they would have treated both equally and both well. So the Bible is not teaching, don't treat anybody right. Don't be nice to anybody or you'll be a respecter of persons. That's not what the Bible says. But what the Bible does say is that when your favor and treatment for one produces a mistreatment in another, you are a respecter of persons. And you are partial. Are ye not then partial in yourselves and are become judges of evil thoughts? Look at verse 5. Hearken, my beloved brethren. Hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye have, here's the problem. Here's what made them a respecter of persons. Not that they were nice to the rich guy. Nothing wrong with being nice to the rich guy. Just make sure that if you're nice to the rich guy, you're nice to the poor guy too. If you roll out the carpet for the wealthy guy, make sure you roll out the red carpet for the not so wealthy guy. The problem that James is pointing out to this church and here in James chapter 2 is not that they were good to the rich man, but verse 6, but ye have despised the poor. The problem is not treating someone well. It'd be fine if they treated everybody well. The problem is that they were treating some people well while mistreating others. And what we need to understand is that respect of persons is showing favor and treatment based on status. That is respect. But it is when our favor and treatment produces a mistreatment of others. Notice verse 6 there. But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seat? Do not they blaspheme the worthy name by which ye are called? And be careful about making too big of a deal about rich people. You know, we at Verity Baptist Church, we love everybody. One of the things I love about this church, this is the most diverse church I've ever been a part of. Now, we have diversity without perversity, and that's something you've got to make clear today. But you know what? We've got all different ages. We've got all different economic statuses here, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Amen. And here he is saying, look, but what James is trying to warn us is be careful about idolizing rich people. Look, isn't it the Bill Gates are trying to vaccinate, you know, and kill all of us? It's the rich people that are often are doing the worst. And then look, and we understand not all rich people are evil. You got to understand that. But here he says in verse 8, if ye fulfill the royal law. Now the royal law that he's referring to, he's just using a different name for what we call the golden rule. Notice what he says. If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. James says, look, it's nothing wrong with loving people. Make sure you love everybody. Of course, we're not talking about the haters of God. We're not talking about reprobates and people who are fighting the word of God. But he says, when it comes to just normal people, make sure you treat everyone well. Make sure you treat everybody equally. God is no respecter of persons. God is not impressed with the car you drive or the house you live in, and neither should we. He says, you fulfill the royal law when thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. He says, when thou lovest thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. Notice verse 9. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. So what does it mean to be a respecter of persons? You are a respecter of persons when you are showing favor and treatment based on status. That is respect of persons. But don't misunderstand that I was saying being nice to somebody makes you a respecter of persons. That's not what the Bible says. In fact, I'm going to prove to you from the Bible that the Bible never taught that. But it is when our favor and treatment to one leads to mistreatment in another, that is respect of persons. Let me give you another thought. Go to Leviticus chapter 19. All the way at the beginning of the Old Testament, you've got Genesis, Exodus, and then the book of Leviticus. Genesis, Exodus, and then the book of Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 19. So showing favor in treatment based on status is being a respecter of person. When your favor in treatment produces a mistreatment in others. But let me say this secondly. Showing favor in judgment. Because remember, we're learning about judgment, justice and discernment. What is right, what is wrong? How to figure out who is right, who is wrong? And to have judgment in our lives, godly judgment, righteous judgment. The Bible teaches, and this is probably the context in which being a respecter of persons comes up the most. We saw in James chapter 2, I would say that's the passage that deals with it the most clear, and that has to do with the treatment of people. And when we have respect of persons, we have good treatment for some and mistreatment of others. But also showing favor and judgment based on status makes you a respecter of persons. Showing favor and judgment based on status is a respecter of persons. And here's the point that I'm making, and here's what I want you to understand. When the favor and judgment to some produces injustice to others, you are a respecter of persons. And look, it can be done in any way. Notice Leviticus 19:15. Ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. What's the context? Being a judge or having judgment and doing it righteously. Ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. Thou shalt not respect the person. Notice what it says, of the poor. Now, James just gave us an example where he says, hey, don't respect the wealthy over the poor. But you know what Leviticus says? Leviticus says, also, don't respect the poor over the wealthy. Don't take the attitude that rich people are better than poor people. But don't take the attitude that poor people are just automatically, because they're poor, better than rich people. See, the idea that we have to sit there and think someone has to be better than someone else is the problem. The truth is that we should just have no respect of persons and look at everybody equally. Ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. Thou shalt not respect the persons of the poor, nor, notice the other example, honor the person of the mighty. So look, it doesn't matter if they're high status or low status. You should not, and look, this is true. Today there are people who look at, despise poor people. They look at poor people and they think every poor person is worthless. Every poor person is lazy. Every poor person did it to himself. Only rich people are hard workers. And that's a bad attitude. Right. Now, the Bible does teach that you should work hard. And the Bible does teach that being lazy will make you poor. But not everyone who's poor is poor because they're lazy. But at the same time, on the other side, you have the group that says every homeless person is a victim and it's not their fault and we have to X, Y, Z. That's not true either. Right. A lot of those people are there because of drugs and alcohol and because of laziness and sin. And if they got saved and they got right with God, they could get themselves out of that situation. Not all of them, a lot of them. So notice, the problem is when we have these extremes. Everyone must and everyone must. No. The Bible says that we should look at individuals as individuals. And you should have enough discernment to say, hey, maybe this person is poor because of situations, maybe that they had no control over, and they work hard, they get up, they go to work every day, and they're doing the best they can, and they're not getting ahead. And you know what? God loves them, and God honors them, and God is blessing them maybe in other ways. And maybe somebody else is poor because they're lazy and because they're on drugs. And maybe somebody's rich because they're a hard worker. They started a business. They worked hard. God has blessed them. And they're generous. And they're not proud. And they're not arrogant. Or maybe somebody else is rich because millions of dollars were handed to them. And they're just a trust fund baby. And they're proud and arrogant. You can't just make decisions, these blanket decisions, and say, everybody that's like this is like this. We must be able to look at individuals on an individual basis. And by the way, aren't you thankful that God looks at each of us as an individual? Amen. God doesn't just look at you and say, well, everyone in your family was worthless, so you must be worthless. Showing favor in judgment based on status makes you a respecter of persons, when the favor in judgment to some means injustice for others. Go to Deuteronomy. Well, actually, look at Leviticus 19 again. You shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. Thou shalt not respect the persons of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty. But in righteousness shalt thou judge thy neighbor. Now, James told us, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Leviticus tells us, in righteousness thou shalt judge thy neighbor. But the idea is, when we have to make a judgment call on someone, when we have to decide, hey, this is right and this is wrong, you are right or you are wrong, that is right and that is wrong, when we have to make those decisions, and we spent the last 7 weeks learning from the Bible that from time to time we have to make those decisions, but when it's time to make that decision should not be based off, do we like this person? Right. Are we impressed by this person? Do we think this person is important? It doesn't matter if they're poor or rich. It doesn't matter if they're successful or not successful by your standards. It doesn't matter. We should not be a respecter of persons. And having favor and judgment to some that results in injustice to others makes you a respecter of persons. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 1. Deuteronomy chapter 1. You're there in Leviticus. You're going to go past Numbers into the book of Deuteronomy. Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 1. Look at verse 17. Deuteronomy 1:17. Notice what the Bible says. Ye shall not respect persons in judgment. You shall not respect persons in judgment. When you are judging or discerning a situation, you should have no respect of persons. But ye shall hear, notice, the small as well as the great. Everyone should get a fair shot at justice. You should hear the small as well as the great. You shall not be afraid of the face of man, for the judgment is God's, and the cause that is too hard for you, bring it unto me, and I will hear. And of course, this is Moses speaking to judges. Go to Judges 16. Excuse me, Deuteronomy 16. You're there in Deuteronomy 1. Deuteronomy 16. Look at verse 19. Deuteronomy 16, verse 19. The Bible says, ye shall not respect persons in judgment. Deuteronomy 16, 19. Notice what the Bible says. In Deuteronomy 16, 19. Thou shalt not rest. See that word rest? It's where we get the word wrestling from. It means to twist. Thou shalt not rest. Thou shalt not twist. You're twisting judgment. He said, thou shalt not rest judgment. He said, judgment should not be twisted or formed to help or hurt any one individual. Thou shalt not respect persons. And then notice the context. He says, neither take a gift. He said, don't take a bribe either. For a gift doth blind the eyes of the wise and pervert the words of the righteous. So when we are talking about what is respect of persons, what we need to understand is that respect of persons is having favor in treatment to one when that favor in treatment leads to mistreatment in another, and being a respecter of persons is showing favor in judgment to one when that favor in judgment leads to misjustice or injustice in others. That's what it means to be a respecter of persons. It means that we should be able to judge a situation and say, it doesn't matter if I like this person or not like this person. It doesn't matter if I'm impressed by this person or I'm not impressed by this person. It doesn't matter what my relationship is to this person or my lack of relationship is to this person. I will not be a respecter of persons. You're there in Deuteronomy 16. Go to Genesis chapter 4. First book in the Bible should be fairly easy to find. Genesis chapter 4. While you turn there, let me read to you from 2 Chronicles 15:16. You go to Genesis, I'll read to you from 2 Chronicles 15:16. Here's an example of judgment that was not practicing respect of persons. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 15:16, and also concerning Maacah, the mother of Asa the king. Remember, Asa the king was a good king who led a revival. He outlawed idolatry and false religion in the land. And the Bible says in 2 Chronicles 15:16, and also concerning Maacah, the mother of Asa the king, he removed her from being queen because she had made an idol in a grove, and Asa cut down her idol and stamped it and burnt it at the brook Kidron. You say, why? What is that an example of? It is an example of righteous judgment. Asa had stopped other people from committing idolatry, had removed other people from positions of authority because of their idol worship, had destroyed other people's idols, and then it comes to light that his mother also has an idol and is also practicing idolatry, and instead of saying, well, it's my mom, I'm going to make an exception for her, that would have been being a respecter of persons. He just had the same judgment for everyone, no matter their status, no matter their relationship. She was the queen and she was his mother, and he still had righteous judgment. So being a respecter of persons is showing favor in treatment that leads to mistreatment in others, and it is showing favor in judgment that leads to injustice in others. That's what it means to be a respecter of persons. Now, secondly, this morning, I said number one, I want to begin by talking about what is respect of persons. But secondly, this morning, I want to explain to you what we should respect. Because when you preach against being a respecter of persons, people often get this idea like, oh, then we should respect nothing. That's not what the Bible teaches. In fact, the Bible talks a lot about having respect towards things, being partial and biased towards certain things. So though the Bible teaches that we should not have respect of persons, meaning we should not have a favor in treatment that leads to mistreatment in others, or favor in judgment that leads to injustice in others, the Bible does teach that there are some things we should respect. So I said, number one, what is respect of persons? We've talked about that. Number two, let's talk about what we should respect. What should we respect? Notice there, Genesis chapter 4 and verse 4. Very well-known story, famous story in the Bible, story of Cain and Abel. Genesis chapter 4 and verse 4, notice what the Bible says. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock. Remember, Cain and Abel are brothers, and they are bringing a sacrifice unto the Lord. The Bible says, and Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord, notice a capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, that's Jehovah God. The Lord, notice these words, had respect unto Abel and to his offering. Now we began the sermon by, I read you a bunch of verses that said that God is no respecter of persons. That there is no respect of persons with God. But here's a verse that tells us that the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. Not only that, verse 5, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth and his countenance fell. You say, well, what is this? Is this problem? Is this an issue in the Bible? Is this a contradiction in the Bible? The Lord had respect unto Abel and his offerings, but the Bible says that God does not respect to persons. But here's what you need to understand. What the Bible teaches is this, that we should respect biblical principles, not persons. Amen. We should have respect for what the Bible teaches in principles from the Word of God, not persons. You say, well, is God being a respecter of persons here? No, he's not. He's being a respecter of principles. Because the Bible teaches that you're supposed to bring a sacrifice of death. The lamb is supposed to die. The blood is supposed to be shed as a picture of the coming Messiah who would die for the sins of the world. Like John the Baptist said about the Lord Jesus Christ, behold, the Lamb of God would take away the sins of the world. Amen. That's what the Word of God had said. Bring a sacrifice that represents, that pictures or foreshadows the sacrifice that will come one day of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Abel brings the right sacrifice. Cain decides to bring his own offering. And what does he bring? He brings of the fruit of the land. What does he bring? He brings of the effort of his own hands. He brings the product of his work. I mean, this is a salvation illustration. One brings a lamb slain. The other brings his work and his effort. And God looks at Abel and says, I respect that and I respect your offering. He looks at Cain and says that he had no respect to Cain and his offering. What is it that God is respecting? He's respecting biblical principles. You say, how do you know that God's not being a respecter of persons? Here's how we know. Because if it was switched around and Abel would have brought of the fruit of the land and Cain would have brought of the firstlings of the flock, then God would have had respect unto Cain and not Abel. If If both would have brought the proper sacrifice of the firstlings of the flock, then God would have had respect unto both. If neither would have brought the right sacrifice, and they both would have brought the wrong sacrifice of the grain of the field, then God would have had no respect unto either one. Notice, it's not that God liked Abel and didn't like Cain. It wasn't based on the fact that God liked one and God liked the other. It based on the fact that one aligned themselves with the biblical principles of the Word of God and the other didn't. And what the Bible teaches is that we should respect biblical principles, not persons.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
Be loyal to principles, not people.
Amen.
Be loyal to principles, not institutions. Now, as people and as institutions align themselves to biblical principles, then we can be loyal to both. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Look at what he says, Genesis 4:4. And Abel, he also brought the firstlings of the flock and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. God had respect to both Abel and his offering. Why? Because Abel lined himself up with the right offering, the right principles of the Word of God. As long as people and institutions align themselves with the Word of God, then we can be loyal to both.
Amen.
But when someone decides to step away from biblical principles, then they need to find out that our loyalty was because they were lined up to the Word of God, not because of who they are.
Amen.
We should be loyal to principles and not people or institutions. And look, this is something that today is just, it's attacked. When I was growing up, the big word was tolerance. I remember in the type of churches I grew up in, they were fundamental Baptist churches, and pastors would preach sermons like tolerance, the devil's doctrine. And we were being told that we have to tolerate, we just have to tolerate the LGBTQ. They weren't even called that back then, but you know, we have to tolerate all these people, and just, you got to tolerate. But you know, it went from tolerate to accept.
Right.
And now we're transitioning from acceptance to just being forced down your throat.
Right.
And you say, well, what's your problem? You don't like those people? No, you know what I like is the Word of God.
Amen.
You know what I'm loyal to is the Bible. And you know what we lost the battle? We lost the battle years ago, back when they were telling us to tolerate it. We should have said, like, God, no, I won't tolerate it. I won't respect it. I respect the Word of God. I'm not going to respect your dumb doctrine.
Amen.
You say, what? Well, you're so hateful towards people. No, no, no. We are aligning ourselves with the Word of God. And anyone that aligns themselves with the Word of God can be accepted. But our loyalty is to the Word of God.
Amen.
So now we have to fight back. Now we have to fight. They're trying to force it down our throats. We got to fight back to just say, hey, look, can we just be against it? You know, it's funny how everybody can have an opinion as long as your opinion is not a biblical opinion.
Right.
You know, we live in this world. Everybody's opinion matters as long as you're not a fundamental Baptist preacher. Now we got to fight back what's being forced on us just to get back to the point where, hey, can we just get back to acceptance? Just let everybody accept it if they want to. But you know what? We lost. We should have been fighting back when we said we're not going to tolerate it.
Amen.
We're not going to tolerate a bunch of men dressed up like women reading children's books in the light. We're not going to tolerate it.
Amen.
That's where the battle should have been fought. You say, oh, you're a respecter of persons. No, 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 I'm a respecter of principles.
Amen.
Biblical principles. And we should have respect of principles, not persons. But let me say this as well. You say, I don't know how I feel about that. Go to Exodus chapter 2. What should we respect? And look, I got to teach this to you because there's so much confusion on being a respecter of persons. And you know, preachers like myself and my friends were constantly being accused of, yo, you're a respecter of persons. And I want to tell people, like, you don't even know what that phrase means. You don't even read the Bible. How about this? Don't use biblical terminology when you don't even read the Bible. I think that we should just start there. You're a respecter of persons. No, no, no. We should respect biblical principles. Not persons, but principles. But you know what the Bible also teaches? And you might not like this, but I don't care because I'm not a respecter of persons. The Bible teaches that we should respect people groups, not persons. Okay, what? Exodus 2, look at verse 24. And God heard their groaning. Who's groaning? The nation of Israel. Who's the nation of Israel in Exodus chapter 2? It's God's people. And God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. What did God remember? Did God remember Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? He did remember Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but is that all? No, he remembered his covenant, the biblical principle that he had established with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Verse 25, and God looked upon the children of Israel. Notice what it says, and God had respect unto them. You say, oh, well, the Bible says that God is no respecter of persons. That's true. But the Bible doesn't say that God is no respecter of people. You say, I don't understand. The Bible teaches it's fine to be a respecter of peoples. It's not okay to be a respecter of a person. You say, that sounds like semantics. We need to get smart. The Bible says that God looked down on a group of people and he had respect unto not him, not her, not a person, but a group of people. He had respect unto them. Go to Leviticus 26. And we could spend all day looking at verses like this. I'm not going to do that. Leviticus 26, look at verse 9. Leviticus 26, 9. Leviticus 26, 9. For I will have respect unto you. Who's God speaking to? He's speaking to the entire nation of Israel. The word you here is not singular, it's plural. For I will have respect unto you and make you fruitful and multiply you. Why? Because God just likes them more than other people? No, based off their connection to the biblical principles and establish my covenant with you. So God says, as you align, and look, have you ever read the Bible? God says to the children of Israel, as you align yourself to my word, to my biblical principles, my covenant, I'll bless you. Amen. And then what did they do when they went away from God's word? You know what happened? God put them into servitude. And you say, what does this have to do with judgment? Read the book of Judges. Amen. There's a book in the Bible called Judges. Amen. And what's happening in that book? God is showing over and over that he is not a respecter of persons. When they aligned themselves with the word of God, he gave them a righteous judge and delivered them and he blessed them. When they stepped away from the word of God, then he punished them. Why? Because as we align ourselves to the biblical principles, then God can have respect unto us. Go to Galatians. Let me give you a New Testament example of this. Galatians chapter 6. If you kept your place in Ephesians, remember your place in Ephesians? Right before Ephesians is the book of Galatians. So if you go backwards from Ephesians, go to Galatians chapter 6. While you turn there, let me read to you from 2 Kings 13:23. You go to Galatians chapter 6, I'll read to you from 2 Kings 13:23. And the Lord was gracious unto them and had compassion on them and had respect unto them. Why? Because of his covenant, because of his word, because of the biblical principles with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and would not destroy them, neither cast he them from his presence as yet. So the Bible teaches that we should have respect to what? Biblical principles, not persons, and people groups, not persons. It's fine to have respect towards people groups. Let me give you an example of that in the New Testament, Galatians 6:10. Notice what the Bible says, and we have there as we have therefore opportunity. Look at this verse, Galatians 6:10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, right? Because we're not supposed to be a respecter of persons. So let us do good unto all men. But then he says this, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Amen. He says, you know what? Let's do good unto all men. But he's telling the church in Galatia, but especially be good to your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. He says, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Why? Because you know what? God looks down on his people and he favors them. Amen. We should not be a respecter of persons, but looking at a group of people and saying, these are God's people. It's fine to be a respecter of peoples. You say, well, I don't know how that sounds odd. Listen, as long as anybody can be part of those people. You understand that? Amen. See, some of you, you don't understand this idea of respect of persons. You're a respect of persons. You're a respect of persons. Is God a respect of persons when he, at the great white throne judgment, sends some people to hell? When God says, I'm going to separate the lambs and separate the goats, and he says, these people are going to go to heaven, and these people are going to go to hell. You say, oh, you're a respecter of persons. Well, you're not. God is not a respecter of persons. You know why? Because anyone who wanted to could have been saved. Amen. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Anyone could have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Anyone could have become part of the body of Christ. Anyone could have got saved. God's not a respecter of persons for saying, I will have respect unto this group, and anyone who wants to can be part of that group. But if you reject that group and don't want to be part of that group, then you can die and go to hell. That's not God being a respecter of persons. And look, I realize that we live in this liberal society where everybody's been brainwashed to think that, like, you can't judge anything, you can't judge anyone. I realize that we live in this no child left behind society where everyone just graduates to the next grade and all these high school students are graduating from high school. They can't even read the diploma that they're being handed. I realize we live in a society where everybody gets a trophy, even if you're the worst team and the worst player on the team. And some of you are like, I can't believe you're saying it. I realize that we live in the society that people just think, you know, it's just like unicorns are just walking around and they're farting gold dust. This, like, happy society. Let me tell you something. That's not the real world. The real world is not this world where just everybody's fine. Everybody's good. No, no, no. Some people are going to go to hell. God says, hey, respect persons. God looks down on his people and he respects people. And you know what? If I meet a brother or sister in Christ out as I travel, I have bias towards them. If they're saved. Say, oh, you shouldn't be like that. Look, I'm going to try to do good unto all men, because here's where you become a respecter of persons, when I start hurting others to be good to one. But if I can be equal to everybody, but then it's like, hey, here's a brother and sister in Christ, you know, and I'm good to them, that's not being a respecter of persons. And look, for this reason, here at Verity Baptist Church, let me just kind of explain this to you. Go to Matthew 25, if you would. Matthew 25, first book in the New Testament, should be fairly easy to find. Matthew 25. For this reason that we should not respect persons, but we should respect biblical principles and not persons, and we should respect, it is fine to respect people groups and not person. For this is something that my wife and I have actually used as a principle here at our church over the last 12 years of ministry. And sometimes we get, you know, people accuse us of things and they just don't understand the Bible. Now, here's the difference between you and me, right? The difference between you and me as a pastor or my wife as a pastor's wife, because you can have a birthday party and just only invite the people you like, right? And that's fine. I'm not saying you should have to invite anybody. I'm not saying that. But, you know, my wife and I, we don't get to do that, right? So what we do and what we've done is we just don't invite anybody. But, you know, what we've done throughout the years is that we will often differentiate by groups. Right? So maybe we do something really nice for the staff. And then someone who's not on the staff could be like, oh, well, Pastor's being a respecter of persons because he took the staff to X, Y, and Z. But wait a minute. I'm not being a respecter of persons. I'm being a respecter of a group. They're the staff. So if I want to do something fun for the staff or something kind for the staff, I can do that because you know what? Anybody could be in our staff. I mean, look at our staff. I'm just kidding. Or how about homeschool groups? We have a homeschool group here at Mary Baptist Church, like 90 kids in it. And you know, my wife is just constantly just doing nice things for the homeschool group, taking them on field trips, doing this, doing that. Someone else could be like, oh, well, Pastor, Miss Joanne never took me to a gold mine for a tour. Never took me to the Capitol to tour the Capitol. But here's the thing, it's not like we're just picking, you know, we like these five little kids. She just say, hey, anyone who's a homeschooler and you're part of our homeschool group, we're going to do X, Y, and Z too. Hey, this week, we're going to do a lot of fun things for the teens. But you can be like, I'm 40 years old. Never took me bowling. But we're not just picking out a handful. We're saying like, hey, all teens are invited. Amen. Anybody who's in this group, the teens, we want to be nice to you this week. We want to do something fun for you this week. Do you understand that? That's not being a respecter of persons. When you just pick a group and say, I'm going to do something nice for this group. As long as anybody could be part of that group, if they were at that season of life or whatever it might be. Number three. So we're talking about respect of persons. And I want to help you understand this because we've been talking about judgment and discernment for several weeks now. And you need to understand this concept of respect of persons. What does it mean to be a respecter of persons? It is when you show favor and treatment to one that leads to mistreatment in another. It is when you show favor and judgment to one that leads to injustice in another. But the Bible tells us that we should have respect to principles, not persons. And as people align themselves to principles, then we can be loyal and favorable to both. We can be favorable to people groups. We can say, hey, we're going to do something nice for all the whatever. We're going to buy a nice dinner for all the ushers. A couple of weeks, we're having usher appreciation dinner and training. And the orchestra will be like, why don't I get to go to the ushers? Because you're not an usher. But you know, we also have orchestra training and dinner appreciation. And we also have, so differentiating by groups is not injustice. And obviously, as churches grow and as ministries grow, you can't take everyone bowling. It's just a thing. By the way, I'm not going bowling. My wife's not going bowling. And none of my children that are not teens are not going bowling. Only the teens are, all right? So we're not respecter of persons. Matthew 25. Let's talk about what is not respect of persons. We talked about what is respect of persons. We talked about what we should respect that's not persons. And then let's talk about what is not respect of persons. And this is, again, misconceptions that people have. Here's what the Bible says is not being a respecter of persons. It is not respect of persons to prioritize the productive. It is not respect of persons to prioritize the productive. You say, what are you talking about? Matthew 25, verse 24. Then he which had received the one talent, this is Jesus, by the way. This is Jesus' teaching. If you have a red letter edition Bible, these words are in red. Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. This is the parable of the talents where Jesus gave one talent to one, he gave talent to others. Now he's coming back. The Lord, Jesus is teaching this as a parable. The Lord's coming back to see what they did with their talents. Look at verse 25. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and that at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Look at verse 28. Look at it. Take therefore the talent from him. The talent from who? The guy has one talent. He only has one talent. And Jesus says, take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him that hath 10 talents. You say, that's not fair. Look, when you're so fair that you're more fair than Jesus, you're too fair. You're probably liberal fair. Take therefore the talent from him, the guy that has one talent, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. You say, how can you justify that? For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he that hath and he shall have abundance, but from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. You say, what's being taught here? You know what's being taught here is that it is not respect of persons to prioritize the productive. Amen. When I was in the military, I was in boot camp, they taught us that if we ever find ourselves in battle, which I was in the Air Force, so that was a very slim chance, that if we ever found ourselves in battle and we got injured, when we would be taken to the medical tent, that they would practice what is called triage. This is something that's practiced in emergency rooms as well. Triage is the preliminary assessment of patients or casualties in order to determine the urgency of their treatment and who to treat first. And what we were told is that as you bring soldiers, because you're fighting a battle, you're in the middle of a fight. So the job is to get as many people who are productive back out into the fight. You understand that? So what we were taught is that when you get brought into this medical facility, this tent or whatever, the triage system would determine and put you into three categories. One category was people who were injured, and no matter what we do, they're going to die anyway. Another category was people who were injured, but even if we don't get to them, they will survive. They might lose a limb, they might have some injury, but they're going to survive. They're badly injured, but it's not bad enough to take their life. And then there's the group of people who are injured, but with attention, could survive. And what we were told is that you will be prioritized. And if you come in and you're injured and they assess this person's injured, but there's nothing we can do for them, they're going to die anyway, then they will try to put you somewhere comfortable. They will give you painkillers and medicine and make you as comfortable as possible, but they're not going to waste a bunch of time on you. You say, why? Because you're in a war. And if you're injured, but you're going to survive anyway, they're going to bandage you up. They're going to put a Band-Aid on that thing. They're going to hand you a Flintstone vitamin and send you back into the battlefield. But if you're injured and you could die, but with medical attention you would survive, then they will prioritize you. You know, that's not being a respecter of persons. That's being smart. You know, over the years, my wife and I have had to make decisions at this church. We try to be good to everyone. We try to love everybody and be good to everybody to the best of our abilities. But sometimes situations arise where a decision has to be made, and we have to decide, who are we going to do what for? And you know what? We will look at the individuals and say, well, this person is, they come to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. They're a soul winner. They tithe. They serve. This person is half backslidden, criticizes and gossips about us every chance they get. And you know, we prioritize the productive. That's not being a respecter of persons. That's being smart. And if you don't understand that, then you must have never worked a day in your life. You must not have ever run anything. Because you're going to put your resources where you're going, why would Jesus take the one talent from the one and give it to the one with 10? You know why? Because the one with 10 was producing. Amen. The one with 10 was getting something done. Amen. So it is not being a respecter of persons to prioritize the productive. In fact, you'd be a fool not to. Now, if you can be kind to everyone, be kind to everyone. If you can be a blessing to everyone, be a blessing to everybody. But if you find yourself in a situation where I'm either going to give my energy to this person or I'm going to give my energy to this person, then you better look at the situation and figure out which one's more productive, which one are we going to get the most out of? Let's get the most bang for our buck. You say, why are you raffling up $650 scooter to these teens? You don't raffle off $650 scooter to, you know, the middle-aged. Well, I don't know if you notice, these teens go soul winning. Amen. I don't know if you notice, I mean, our entire orchestra is pretty much made up of teens. Not only teens, and there are adults in there, and I'm thankful for them. But, you know, I'm investing in the productive. I'm trying to prioritize those that got some years ahead of them, some strength ahead of them, don't have a bunch of baggage with them. Amen. And that's not an attack on you. You should be happy about that. It is not respect of persons to prioritize the productive. Lastly, let me say this. Go to Matthew chapter 20. You're there in Matthew 25. Just flip back to Matthew chapter 20. It is not a respect of persons to show kindness to one as long as you're not mistreating the others. Did you hear what I just said? People think, oh, pastor, you're nice to so-and-so. You know, it's not being a respecter of persons to show kindness to one as long as you're not mistreating others. Now, when you show kindness to one that leads to mistreating others, that's being a respecter of persons. Saw that in James. Let me give you an example where you can be kind to one and not mistreat others. Matthew chapter 20, verse 8. This is the parable of the vineyard. The Bible says, so when even was come, remember the Lord of the vineyard went out and he found laborers. And he asked people to come work for him. Now this is at the end of the workday. They've been working from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. The workday's over. So when even was come, that's 6 p.m., the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, so he went out at 6 a.m., he found workers, he said, go work in my vineyard. But then he went back out a few hours later, he went back out a few hours later, he went out back out a few, and kept finding more laborers. So now he's got all these workers. Some have been working from 6 a.m. to noon to 6 p.m. Some have been working from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Some have been working from noon to 6 p.m. And some have only been working for 1 hour. They got hired at 5 p.m. and the workday ends at 6. Look at verse 8. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his stewards, call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. From the one that was hired last unto the one that was hired first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, 5 p.m., they received every man a penny. Now here's why this is important, is because a penny is 1 day's worth of wages. These guys got hired at 5 p.m., they worked till 6 p.m., but they got paid like they'd worked all day long, 12 hours. So he gives the last who worked 1 hour a penny, verse 11, and when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house. I skipped a verse. Look at verse 10. But when the first came, right? So we saw in verse 9 that he gave those that worked from the 11th hour one penny. Verse 10. But when the first came, the first are the ones that have been working since 6 a.m. They supposed, by the way, that's when you get yourself into trouble, when you're making all sorts of assumptions. They supposed, they assumed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. Everyone got paid a penny. Everyone got paid 1 day's worth of wages. The guys that worked one full day got 1 day's worth of wages. The guys that worked 1 hour got 1 day's worth of wages. So, verse 11, and when they had received it, they murmured, they complained against the good man of the house, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour. They're saying, these last, they only work 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. You say, well, this doesn't sound very fair. Look at verse 13. But he answered one of them and said, friend. Here's how we know that God is no respecter of persons. Notice what he says. I do thee no wrong. No, you say, well, how you're not doing them wrong? Notice what he says. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Right. See, if you read the parable earlier in the day, when the good man of the house goes out to find workers at 6 a.m., he says, hey, I'm looking for some workers. There's communication between him and the workers, and the workers say, well, how much are you paying? He said, well, I'll pay you a penny for 12 hours days. You think that's fair? They said, yeah, that's fair. So they go to work. They agree to get paid a penny a day. When he goes back at 9 a.m. and at noon and at 5 p.m., no agreement is made. He goes out and says, hey, I'm looking for workers. And they said, sure, how much are you paying? And he said, just go work and I'll pay you what's fair. And they said, okay, we'll trust you. You know, I'll go work for 1 hour, just pay me what you think is fair. No agreement is made. At the end of the day, he decides to pay the guys that worked 1 hour a full day's wages. The guys that worked all day get upset and said, you're doing us wrong. But he says, no, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? He said, you made an agreement with me. And by the way, I'm not preaching on the purpose of the parable, but the purpose of the parable, the reason that Jesus is teaching the parable is because Peter just got done saying to Jesus, we have left all and followed thee. What are we going to get? And Jesus is trying to teach Peter, hey, you know what? Don't worry about what you're going to get paid. You let me pay you, and I'll give you what's right. I'll give you more than you deserve. Don't try to make an agreement with me. That's the purpose of the parable. But in the parable, he says, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Verse 14. He says, take that is thine and go thy way. I will give unto this last, even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? He says, can't I do what I want with my own stuff? And then here's the key. Is thine eye evil because I am good? Now, here's what Jesus said. They agreed for a penny. If he would have at the end of the day said, you know what, I'm not going to give you what we agreed, I'm going to give you half of a penny, that would have been wrong. But when they agreed, they signed a contract, they said, I'm going to work for 12 hours, you're going to pay me a penny. At the end of the day, he pays them a penny. He's done them no wrong. But just because these other people said, hey, you know what, just pay us what you think is right, we'll just go work, don't worry about it, what you think is fair, pay us that. And he says, I'm going to be a blessing to them, I'm going to give them a full day's wages, even though they worked 1 hour. They're saying, you're being a respecter of persons. But you know what the Bible is teaching here is that showing kindness to one is not being a respecter of persons as long as you're not mistreating others. Do you understand that? Because today people are like, oh, you show kindness to one person, that makes you a respecter of persons. No, it doesn't. Now, if my kindness to one is mistreating others, that is being a respecter of persons. But he wasn't treating these people bad. He said, I do thee no wrong. Didst thou not agree with me for a penny? He said, look, I'm giving you what we agreed upon. Now, if you wouldn't have agreed, I'd give you more. That's why I don't like it when we go to restaurants and they give you, like, they decide what the tip's going to be. I always hate that. Because I think to myself, you know what, I'll give you your tip. But the next time, I'm going to give the other guy twice that much. I do thee no wrong. Don't agree with me. Let me be a blessing to you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So look, what does it mean to be a respecter of persons? When you are showing favor and treatment that results in mistreatment of others. In this situation, he was showing favor and treatment, but not mistreating the others. He was still fair to the others. He showed favor to one. You say, does that make you a respecter of persons? If you want to say that Jesus was a respecter of persons, but it is not respecter of persons to show kindness to one without mistreating others. Go to Proverbs chapter 24. We're going to finish up right now. We'll be done. Proverbs 24. Open your Bible just right in the center. When like you fall in the book of Psalms, right after Psalms, you have the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 24. See, sometimes people, they get this idea. They live from a scarcity position, and the idea they have is this. If you cannot do for everyone, then do for no one. That's not right. You know what Jesus taught? Do for one what you can't do for all. Now, if you can do it for all, do it for all. But if you can't do it for all, can you do it for one? Isn't that the entire principle behind soul winning? People say to us, well, what do you think you're going to do with your 100 soul winners out there every week? There's millions of people that need the gospel. You can't save them all. I know we can't save them all, but we can save some. You're not going to change the world. I may not be able to change the world, but I can get somebody saved and change their world. Amen. Maybe if you understood this, you would understand the principle of generosity, which don't have this idea, well, I can't get everybody saved, so I'm just not going to get anybody saved. If I can't do it for all, I'm not going to do it for none. Let them all go to hell. No, you know what the Bible teaches? Is that we should try to do it for all, but if we can't do it for all, it's okay to do for one what we can't do for all. And if everybody got the idea, let's do for one what we can't do for all, we'd reach them all. So it's not being a respecter of persons to prioritize the productive, and it's not being a respecter of persons to show kindness to one, as long as you're not mistreating the others. Proverbs 24:23, these things also belong to the wise. Proverbs 24:23, it is not good to have respect of persons in judgment. Proverbs 28:21, to have respect of persons, Proverbs 28:21, to have respect of persons is not good. For a piece of bread, that man will transgress. We should not be a respecter of persons. We should not show favor and treatment that leads to mistreatment in others. We should not show favor and judgment that leads to misjudgment in others. But we should have respect of biblical principles over people. And we should have respect of people groups that align themselves with those biblical principles. And it's not respect of persons to prioritize the productive. And it's not respect of persons to show kindness to one as long as you're not mistreating the others. Let's bow our heads in our word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for your word. Lord, I realize that this concept of respect of persons can be difficult to understand. And I hope it was clear. We need to have biblical principles that help us guide our leadership. And we need to have biblical principles that help us guide our life. Lord, I pray you'd help us to be just people, righteous in judgment, and help us to lead our lives by the word of God. I do thank you for this series on judgment. So many things have been taught, so many practical things. I pray you'd help us to learn them, to understand them, to apply them to our lives. In the matchless name of Christ, we pray. Amen. All right, we're going to have Brother Matt come up and lead us in a final song. Just want to remind you a couple of things. First of all, don't forget that we have church tonight, 6 p.m. We'd love for you to come back for the evening service. Tonight I'm preaching a sermon called The Next Generation, and it is not for teens, all right? The teens are going to preach that Monday or Tuesday and Wednesday. This is for the adults and how for you to prepare for this youth rally. You say, I don't have teens. You should still care about the next generation. So I want to encourage you to be here tonight for that. And then don't forget that we have the Cookie Fellowship signups in the foyer. We've got the two clipboards. If you could go by and sign up to bring cookies on Tuesday night or Wednesday night, we would appreciate it. And then be in prayer for the next generation youth rally. The entire church family is invited to the morning sessions, 10 a.m. Tuesday and Wednesday. Evening services, 7 p.m. Tuesday and Wednesday. And of course, it's going to be a great time. Please be in prayer for all the events, that everything goes smoothly, and that this week, that it'll make an impact in young people's lives. If there's anything we can do for you, please let us know. Why don't Brother Matt come up and lead us in a final song.
Turn to song 264. 264. About salvation, church membership, or baptism, pastor will be at the door. He'd love to talk to you or direct you to someone who's trained to talk about that. I'm going to ask Brother George, would you close in prayer for us?